let's see, Oracle's been in the database business about 20 years. And in those 20 years, we've lived through, experienced, and developed products for three different generations of computing, all of which are with us right now. Mainframes have not gone away, and our very first products were designed to run on large computers with a bunch of terminals attached. And then we entered and are in the midst of something called client-server computing. But we believe, and what we're here to talk about, is really the next, and I'll argue, last generation of computing, internet computing. I don't think there's going to be another generation. I think this is it. I think the computer industry is in the process of maturing. I pressed the button, but nothing happened. There we go. Okay, mainframe computing. Mainframe computing had some very interesting things that we missed. There are some things we really like about mainframe computing. Of course, everyone focuses on the things we don't like. We don't like the fact that mainframes are really hard to program. We don't like the fact that mainframe hardware is relatively expensive. And we really don't like the fact that terminal user interfaces are awful. I mean, it's not a very, you know, elegant user experience. So we kind of shunned mainframes and moved towards this thing called client-server computing. But let's not forget the things about mainframe computing that we miss in the midst of client-server computing. One of the really cool things about mainframes is that you can access a mainframe computer from a terminal any place in the world. Wide area networks work really well with mainframe computers and terminals. That's because the only thing that goes across that wire when you issue a query to a mainframe computer is the stuff that shows up on your screen. The only thing that goes across the wire the other way is what you type in. So mainframes do a beautiful job of using networks efficiently. That means slow, wide area networks, slow modems, whatever a slow modem is, something slower than 56. Slow modems really can allow you to access mainframes. And that's because, again, both the data and the application are on that mainframe computer. Only the user interface data goes across that wire. But alas, we've moved from mainframe computing, the era of mainframe computing, into client-server computing. And what we did there is we separated the application from the data. We moved the application off the server and put it on the client desktop. Now, that was really cool because it allowed us to build a great multimedia user interface on the desktop computer. The problem, however, is that connection between the PC application and the server data is very chatty. Lots and lots of information goes flowing back and forth between the PC and the server. So much information goes back and forth between the PC and the server that wide area networks work poorly. In fact, client server was specifically designed for high-speed local area networks. Works beautifully on local area networks. Does not work so well on wide area networks. This has created incredible problems for client server. And it's why I believe client server is an evolutionary dead end. The poor wide area networking, the incredibly labor-intensive administration, has made client-server computing unbelievably expensive to own. Even though the hardware is inexpensive, even though the UI is very elegant, the actual cost of maintaining these local area networks, all these applications on desktops, and all these different servers in all these different locations has created real serious problems and huge costs. Enter the Internet. The Internet is a better idea. What the Internet simply does is it takes the application off the desktop and puts it back onto a server, just like mainframe computing. Gets the application off the desktop, back onto the server. So once again, like mainframe computing, you have applications and data on servers. And wide area networks begin to work again. Because the only thing going across that wire between the application server and the desktop computer is the stuff that shows up on your screen or the stuff that you type in. That's why the Internet works reasonably well on modems. Now, if you're spending moving a lot of graphics back and forth, it's slower. But if you don't move a lot of graphics back and forth, it's pretty fast user interface. Dramatically faster, 10 times faster, 100 times faster than client server. And you have to worry about any of the administration of your desktop without PC anymore, because the only application you have on your personal computer is a browser. All the data is professionally backed up. All the applications are professionally upgraded. You just have a single universal viewer that allows you to get all the data. Dramatically lower cost of ownership, elegant UI, low-cost hardware, really the blending, the coming together of the best of mainframe computing and the best of client-server computing, and all based on a set of industry standards that belong to us all, the Internet. Okay, in summary, very succinctly then, the Internet has a few servers, a few centralized, professionally managed servers that can be easily accessed globally across the wide area network. That's the whole idea of an Internet. Amazon.com. You know, a few servers in a central location could be accessed by anyone in the world. Centralize the servers, distribute access. Centralize complexity, distribute access, information. Very different than client server, which because of the LAN requirements, pretty much wherever you have a bunch of client machines, you need a server attached to the LAN in that same location. So you end up with lots and lots of servers and lots of locations accessed by local area networks. This creates some interesting problems. The most obvious, this is obviously a faux button here. I'll just get rid of it and say next one. Okay. The most obvious case, what everyone talks about with client server, is the incredibly high cost of managing the system, backing up all of those servers, upgrading all of those applications and all of those desktops. It's hugely expensive. And of course, the hidden cost is reliability. The hidden cost is if you don't have professionals doing the backup, if you don't have professionals doing the upgrades, if you do the software upgrades on 10,000 clients, you're likely to miss a few, and that's going to create real reliability problems. If you have to recover data in 100 different locations on 100 different servers, the chances are someone's going to screw that up and you're going to lose information. So there's a huge cost and a huge reliability penalty with client server versus Internet centralized computing. Centralized complexity, distributed information. Next slide. This one's a bit subtler, but it's overwhelming, and I think will kill client server very quickly. And I don't think it's well understood, so it's worth taking a minute. When you consolidate your information onto a global server, you have better information. Take Oracle Corporation, for example. We have these sales management systems in every country we do business. We have 140 sales management systems. We have one in France, we have one in Holland, we have one in the UK, we have one in the United States. So let's say I would like to know what the global forecast is. I have no idea. It's on 140 different computers in 140 different countries. I have thousands of professionals managing 140 different computers in 140 different countries, and I have no idea what's going on. But I'm paying dearly for not having that information. You have all of these regional systems. You have all of these regional systems distributing information irrationally, distributing complexity in a very costly fashion, and as a result, I pay top dollar and get no data. That's, by the way, how all ERP systems work today. Ours, SAP's, PeopleSoft's, you name it. That's how they work. Different system in France, Holland. It's crazy. Once you centralize your computer, if you have a single computer in California that where all salesmen enter their global forecast, you've saved 139 computers and all the professionals that manage them. But the big win is you know what your global sales forecast is. You know what your global order position is. You can count how many employees you have. There's a very nasty article in the Wall Street Journal recently being about a month ago, where a guy at Burger King said, you know, I can get SQL Server for less than I can get Oracle. First of all, that's not true. Actually, Oracle's cheaper than SQL Server just to buy. But forget that. So when I put SQL Server into all my hamburger stands, I'm going to save money. My reaction really was not, you're picking SQL Server rather than Oracle. That's really not the reaction. The reaction was, databases and hamburger stands? Not a good idea. Not a good idea. But we're putting databases in hamburger stands. We're putting databases in branches of banks. We're putting databases in local offices. It's all a mistake. It's all a colossal mistake. It's costing us a fortune. This irrational distribution of information storage. Information access, absolutely. Information storage and management complexity, never. Centralize that. Professionally manage that. Distribute the information across your corporate internet or the web. It will save you a fortune and get you dramatically better information much more reliably. This is what I think will kill client-server almost overnight. Overnight in our business is a few years. Dramatically better information at a much lower cost, much more reliably. Next slide, please. This is another interesting issue. With all the, even the regional information isn't available to the sales manager when the sales manager is on the road. Let's see if you want to get a sales forecast when you're on the road. Can't get that. Let's see if you want to get a sales forecast when you're at home. Sorry, just got a modem. Those client-server applications work lousily across the modem. So not only is you only have regional rather than global information, you even can't even get that unless you're at the office attached to the LAN. These are not trivial differences, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. These are overwhelming differences. Dramatically better access. Dramatically better information. Dramatically higher reliability, dramatically lower cost, an order of magnitude lower cost. You can't bring all your employees online, all of your suppliers online, all of your customers online, client server. Imagine Amazon.com if it were client server. I'm going to roll out my new client server version of Amazon.com. I'm going to sell books to everyone in the world. I've got to send out 45 million floppy disks the first day with instructions on how to install them. You're having an installation problem, no problem. I send a service person to your home. Got to hire about a million, 2 million, maybe 5 million service people that load it to start. And it's very funny when you think about it, but that's how virtually every corporation runs their network. They send out floppy disks and professionals behind them to install applications on desktops, and it doesn't work very well. It sure costs a lot. Next slide, please. We think the future overwhelmingly is the internet. And obviously, we think that all corporate networks will become intranets or extranets, corporate internet. You believe that. Every corporation with their own network will be modeled after internet standards. What is less obvious, again, and I think this is extremely important and worth talking about, because a lot of people in the audience are ISVs. That business is about to change totally. Because we think the web, the internet, is going to provide business applications. The whole idea that doctors are going to install NT servers in every doctor's office is crazy. That lawyers are going to install NT servers in every lawyer's office is crazy. Believe fundamentally that you have websites dedicated to doctors that do accounting and patient scheduling and record keeping, that ping patients to remind them to take their medicine, to send records out to get second opinions. Those will all be internet-based systems. The only thing the doctor will have in his or her office will be a connection to the web and a computer with a browser. That the data will be on a professionally managed server. And that server will serve lots of docs, lots of lawyers, lots of small businesses, architects, accountants, what have you. When the doctor wants to have his accounts audited by his accountant, no problem. Accountant logs on, gets a special password, does the work, submits the tax form electronically. The cost differences here are overwhelming. Again, a factor of 10 times cheaper to deliver business applications to business people across an internet than to stick a computer with a database in it and an operating system in it and software in it into doctor's offices and lawyer's offices and your house and your branches is crazy. The reason there is a huge labor shortage in our industry, the reason our industry can't grow as fast as it should, is because we have this irrational distribution of complexity that requires an incredible amount of labor to manage. One of the most interesting things that, again, is not widely noticed, is one of the biggest reasons we have data warehouses is if we irrationally distribute information, if we put our sales forecasting servers in 140 different countries, and you want to have a global sales forecast, you better have a data warehouse that sucks information out of those 140 servers into one. An awful lot of data warehousing is done just to reconsolidate that which was accidentally deconstructed because of client-server computing. I mean, think about it. We take what should be in one database, put it in 140 databases, and we want to know what's going on, you got to put it back in one database. I mean, you need a data warehouse to ask really complicated questions like, how many employees do I have? How many burgers did I sell today? These are not enormously complicated analytical questions looking at buying patterns of of our customers. This is to know anything globally rather than regionally. It's much cheaper for corporations to have centralized servers and centralized information. It's much cheaper for groups of small businesses to acquire their business applications centrally from web servers. And that's the way the world's going to work. And every ISV who's building applications that get sent out in small servers is making an economic mistake. It's very hard to compete when a doc can log on to a website and do all their accounting, get all this stuff done for, and their startup cost is $1,000 versus the startup cost of putting an NP server in, which is probably $50,000. Again, these are not subtle, slight differences. These are order of magnitude differences. Next slide, please. This is all good for Oracle. If consolidation of information is what's required to get you better information. Consolidation of information, of servers, is what's required to get you better reliability and lower costs. Oracle is the database that can do the heavy lifting. It has the reliability and security to enable that consolidation. And the proof of that is, very simply, we are already the foundation of the Internet. Every major website in the world uses Oracle. Not 80%, not 85%, not 92%, 100% of websites to scale use Oracle. They tried other things to start, perhaps. My favorite, of course, is not Amazon.com. It's not Yahoo. Even Microsoft can't get their stuff to work on scale without using the Oracle database. The large applications on Microsoft Network are run by Oracle. Next slide, please. Yeah, just more proof. Everyone, every single, you go to Excite, every single application is an Oracle-based application. Yahoo's based on Oracle, you name it. Next slide. Okay, why? Very simply, we can support tens of thousands of users on a server. No one else can. We can support tens of terabytes of all kinds of data, all the multimedia data that's prevalent on the web. And it works. It works all the time, every day, every hour. It works. Because of this thing called parallel server, you can have multiple computers accessing the same database. Not only does that give you much better performance, more importantly, if one of those servers should fail, hardware, software failure, who cares? The other servers keep running. Oracle keeps running. The data is available. It works all the time. Next slide. Oracle 8i is better. It's better because it was designed specifically for the Internet. It is the first Internet database, and I'll explain what I mean by that. And it's also the first unified platform of any kind, not just Internet platform, the first unified platform. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Next slide, please. Okay, the most important thing by far about Oracle 8i is that Oracle 8i has Java built right into the database. You know, we have PL/SQL built in the database. Now we have PL/SQL and Java built in the database. This is industry standard Java. It's absolutely compatible with Sun Java, built into the database. Any Java program runs in the Oracle database. But it's not a Java server that we bought from somebody. It's not Sun, it's not Microsoft, it's not anybody, it's ours. The reason it's ours is we had to support, if our server supports tens of thousands of users, we had to have a Java that supports tens of thousands of users. And the fact of the matter is, the current Java servers support tens of users, not hundreds. They don't support hundreds of users. They support tens of users. They're primarily client-side Java or lightweight server-side Java. Try to build an application to support 200 users in Java using traditional Java. You can build the application, you just can't run it, which is discouraging. Okay, so we built a Java. I'm not going to go into tremendous detail, but to give you an idea in terms of memory requirements, I mean, normal Java, conventional Java, uses megabytes of data, between 3 and 6 megs per user. We use 50 to 100K per user. We have faster garbage collection. We're compiled. We run a lot faster. Now, the next thing is that we're completely extensible. We're not just a database anymore. Oracle is not just a database anymore. Because we can run any Java program, you can go out and buy Java programs, plug them into Oracle, and Oracle's different. Oracle has a completely different personality. We went out and bought a Java-based web server. We actually bought the web server and plugged it into Java, and suddenly the database is a web server. The database itself is a web server. If you're inside the database, you can send HTTP back and forth out of the database. It's a web server. Kind of bizarre. Doesn't talk to the operating system, just completely self-contained. You can purchase systems components and entirely exchange the personality of the Oracle database, or just Oracle 8i. It's not just a database anymore. Then we took Java ourselves, we just want to buy some Java components, and we did put a web server into 8i. We also use Java to write a file system. We have the ability now with Oracle basically to drag and drop any Windows file, let's say a Microsoft Word file or an Excel file. We'll automatically parse it. We have an XML parser written in Java built into the database. We are by far the most powerful Java development environment in the world. We are by far the richest XML environment in the world. We have the slickest, most extensible web server in the world. And if you don't like it, change it. You can change it. You can add to it. You can take stuff out. So we wrote this file system. So now if you drag and drop, you take a Windows file, and you drag the Windows Word file into the database, in our IFS file system, it goes through context, it gets parsed, it goes through the XML parser. We take this stuff so you can search it. You can do database queries against it. You suddenly make let me quote Bill Gates. Bill said, it's getting harder and harder to find PC data. Maybe we should build a database into the PC file system. Of course, what he means is if we build a database into the PC file system and give it away, we can put Oracle out of business. And the Justice Department won't sue us because we're just extending the operating system. But Bill is right. A database is a much better place to keep your information than a file system. It's faster. It's more searchable. It's easy to share information. It's more secure. You can have multiple versions of documents. We have delivered to you, basically, in Oracle 8i with IFS, the world's best Windows file system. Oh, and by the way, to get the power of the data, to move from a file system to the database, usually a huge price you'd pay from making the migration from a database to a file system, from file system to database, because it's so complicated to manage data in a database compared to managing a file system. The great thing about file systems, they're lousy couldn't do much with them, but they were really easy to use. Now we've taken the ease of use of the file system and married it to the power of a database. All you have to do, and we'll show you, is basically drag a Windows file into an Oracle file folder on your PC. It goes right in the database. That's it. You're done. That's it. Drag, drop, finish. Automatically gets parsed, gets indexed, shareable, secure, automatically backed up, multi-version, all those things. Your website, which might be stored in a lot of files, drag those files into the database. Multiply version, secure, shareable, multiple people working on the website, goes right into the database. Plus it's faster, a lot faster. That file system, that XML parser, all of that, all the rendering that goes on with this, it's all written in Java. There's some things missing, fix it, change it. The system is so powerful we could even write the IFS file system in the database Java. That's how powerful this system is. That's how extensible this system is. And because we can keep doing that over and over again, we can keep the system unified. Because it's extensible, it can be unified. If it's not extensible, you're going to have to reach outside for other components that are not within the unified whole. You can always put the system components as well as the application components into AI. It's a big deal. There has never been a system, anything like this. That's why we're so this presentation was very, very challenging. It's one of the most difficult presentations I've ever had to put together because I can't compare this to anything. It's not really, it's a replacement for the operating system. Well, not really. It actually completely insulates you from the operating system. Write your application for AI in Java, and it runs on every operating system. It runs on Sun Unix. It runs on MVS. It runs on N2. It runs everywhere. Next slide. The unified platform. Everything is in this interpreted when you're developing, compiled when you're running environment. And those of you who've ever done interpreted basic, I know there are a lot of programmers in the audience. If you've ever lived in an interpreted environment, it's really wonderful. You make a few changes, you run it for testing. It really is a wonderfully productive environment. It's an object-oriented, componentized, interpreted environment for development. Hey, you're ready. Boom, press a button, compile it, and you can deploy to tens of thousands of users. There's really never been anything like it. All your data is in the database. Not just traditional database data, but all your files. Your program logic, your program itself is data, if you will, in the database. Your program logic's in the database. The user interface, HTML and Java, is streamed directly out of the database. Even the network protocols, the web server, packaging up the messages, putting the protocols in front of them, it's all built into the database. Everything's inside the database. You never see the OS. You have no idea what operating system you're running on. Next slide. So, what are the things you need to build this new generation of internet applications for the web and for corporate internet? Well, you need AI. That's a complete list. Then anyone with a browser on a cellular telephone, a browser on a PC, a browser on a television, anyone with a browser, any place, can access that application, get the power of that application. Across a wide area network, inexpensively, worldwide access, and you support thousands, tens of thousands of users per server. Next slide. Okay, this is what I was saying a little bit earlier, is that this will really change everything. That ERP systems that large businesses are installing, oh, this is going to sound terrible, aren't going in quite the right way. There are several things wrong with ERP systems, one of which is that we have this fragmentation, that the French, you automate France, and you automate Germany, you automate Holland, you automate all these different countries, and I mentioned this before. Wrong. Very expensive. Can't get information globally. Just regional information. Fine if you're a regional company. For a global company, a disaster. And everyone's doing it that way. Other thing, the ERP systems are incomplete. You know, one of the single most important things any senior executives in the company care about is what's my sales forecast? What's my order position? You've got to automate more than just accounting and manufacturing. You have to automate the front office. You have to automate the sales process from prospecting and marketing to forecasting in order to taking the order to delivering the product. You have to automate the service organization from the time someone calls to the time you fix their problem. You have to have all that information. And it's been called extended ERP. But not only should the ERP system be complete in terms of automating sales and service in addition to manufacturing, accounting, and human resources, it needs to be global, not local. It needs to be on a corporate internet or the World Wide Web. And none of them are going in that way. Isn't it great? Well, get itself something brand new. And so Oracle's whole application strategy is based on just two things. One is the system has to be complete. It has to be front office, it has to be sales and service, as well as accounting, and human resources, and manufacturing. And it has to be global, not local. Single system, automate the world. Next, ISVs. We have an interesting deal for ISVs. I'll announce it right now. This day forward, ISVs are getting 8i for nothing. It's free. So if you try to pay us for 8i, we're going to send your checks back. We think this is a unique opportunity to go after all those Java programmers in the world, all those ISVs in the world who we hope are rethinking what they're building. Because if you're in the audience and you're an ISV and you're building systems for small businesses that go out on these NT boxes all over the place, how do you feel about competing with someone who offers the same application across the net, across the web? Do you feel good about that? Because I'll argue that at accounting.com for doctors, I not only can do it 10 times cheaper, I can do things you can't do on your little NT server. I can exchange patient records to get a second opinion. I can automatically page my patients and remind them to take their medicine. I can do all sorts of things on the network that you can't do on your dedicated NT server, and all I need is a connection to the web. And it's all managed reliably. I can worry about medicine. Not data backups. So we think that ISVs will be a whole new generation of business-to-business applications built on web servers for docs, for lawyers, for small businesses, small retail operations of all kinds. Imagine you build doctors.com. You build doctors.com. If Yahoo is worth so much money because they can advertise to consumers, what is doctors.com worth in terms of advertising, taking advertising from pharmaceutical companies and medical equipment manufacturers? The web hasn't begun to get off the ground yet, folks. The web right now is focused, originally was focused on universities and government agencies, and is now focused on consumers, selling books to consumers. Who cares? Who cares? How about services to lawyers? Which do you think is the biggest? Business-to-business applications are vastly bigger than business-to-consumer applications, and there are no big business-to-business applications on the web yet. All the business-to-business applications are still being packaged in cardboard and plastic and silicon. And that's going to all change. So we'd love for you to develop on 8i. We think it's the most productive development environment. We'll give it to you for free. We're putting a new developers program in place where we're hiring, I don't know, something like 100 people just to talk to ISVs, programmers, real programmers, just to talk to ISV and help them program in 8i. That's going as part of our developers program. So two of the things we're announcing here today: the developers program with lots of support, real programmers helping you use 8i to build these applications, helping you find Java, already pre-built Java components to do all this stuff. And, of course, you don't pay a thing for it. All ISVs get this for nothing. Now, if you happen to sell a few, we'd like you to send us a check when you're deploying with real customers. But in terms of your own development, the support services, the developers program, and the software itself is free. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is my favorite example. You want to know the global sales forecast? Our system in Oracle Release 11, all the salespeople, since it's all you need is internet access, we can roll out Compare this to some other systems that are on the market. We can, you know, as long as the salesman has an internet browser, salesman enters their own sales forecast. So the whole notion of self-service. The people who have the information, people who can make the forecast, enter their own data. It's another important thing about the internet. It's very different than old-fashioned ERP, which really automated clerical professionals. This brings all your employees online, and the people who have the information first enter the information. Because you can get everyone onto the system. Everyone's on the web. So the salespeople come up, enter their own sales forecast. They enter it in Germany and Japan and Holland, goes to the single server someplace, who cares where. And the CEO, the head of sales, the CFO, anyone who's authorized can get the information from the people who have it instantly, globally. Instantly, globally. And it's cheap. It's cheap rolling it out. There's no client software. I do a rollout. It's very interesting. Mark Barenshire, our head of front office applications, said, "Larry, I'm really proud to tell you that our new front office CD is in shipping now." I said, "Mark, I don't care. Tell me when the server's up." I mean, the server's up, but then we're up globally. Rolled out around the world with one install. It's going to change everything. Next slide. Okay, so this is the other thing I was talking about. Again, there's no way Oracle can... The good news for all the ISVs in the world is, you know, Oracle is concentrating on fairly large companies. There's no way in the world we can do this for all the different segments of the market out there that need this new generation of systems. That's why the developer program, that's why we're, you know, spending a little bit of time talking about this. It's a huge business opportunity, overwhelming advantage over systems that are packaged on NT servers everywhere. Next slide. We've got some background information that we can send you, but we think to maintain a client-server system or these detachable laptop systems costs someplace between $10,000 and $25,000 per user per year. This is very expensive stuff. You have your own basic experience. Internet applications had a real problem because they're actually much cheaper than that, but you can only go so far before you lose all credibility. I mean, I'm not sure what it costs us to roll out to thousands upon thousands of salespeople all over the world our sales forecasting system, but it sure isn't $1,000 a user. A whole lot less than that. So, but again, overwhelming, very low cost, very reliable, global information. Client servers dead. Next slide. 8i features. We've got a whole series of demos. This is not just a fantasy. It's important. The idea is good. The software behind it had better also be good. 8i is chock full of features. Again, the biggest one is this notion of Java extensibility. But one of the things we've noticed is, as we put Java and true object language into the database, there's a bunch of extended object features, and 8i is better than 8.0. So we put all the Java features into both the, you know, standard edition and enterprise edition of Oracle Database, and you get that for free. Everyone's got or get that. You got that license. All the object stuff, you know, comes out there for free. So you have all the relational features, all the object features. Clearly, we support all the different data formats for the internet. The Java server, very, very important, as I mentioned. The internet file system, extremely important in and of itself, but a wonderful crystalline example of how powerful the extensibility is. But we would use, but Oracle would not use C to extend the database, or C++. We ourselves use Java to write extensions to the database now. And in fact, even the Java environment is written mainly in Java. And finally, the internet is great, but everyone says, well, what about disconnected? If everything's going to be on servers, what do I do with laptops? Well, we've taken Oracle Lite, and we've really made it web to go. We've got Olight, the database, and we now have an HTML Java front end packaged with Olight, and we'll show you how easily it synchronizes things up. Let me point out one thing. If everything's in the database, your data is in the database. And we're used to replicating data back and forth. Okay, the data's in the database, so it gets replicated. But wait a second, your program logic is also in the database. So when you replicate, data replication includes not just getting the latest versions of your data, but also getting the latest versions of your program. In fact, the latest versions of everything just shows up with one button. There's no distinction. So you want to roll out 10,000 laptop systems? Well, log on to the website, folks. There is nothing. Data, programs, we can't tell the difference. Everything is in the database. Next slide. Okay, Java Server, I think I've said all these things. It's both interpreted and compiled Java. We think it's very important that it's actually both. So when you're developing, you make a change, run it, test it. So we've got a really nice interpreted environment for development. You want to run it fast, support lots of users, we also allow you to compile it. We're talking about 100 times more users than conventional Java. And I'll be happy to answer questions about fancy garbage collection algorithms, all those things you really want to ask. Again, completely compatible. We support, with Sun's JDK, Sun's APIs. We support Energize Java Beans 1.0, Corba 2.0. And of course it's completely integrated with SQL. The languages are totally integrated and extended, and ISO ANSI standard. Next slide. Okay, I'm repeating myself, but I think it's worthwhile. This is an important point. Because the system is extensible, because you can add whatever you want to it, so long as it's written in Java, you can buy those Java components or you can write those Java components. Because it's extensible, you never really leave 8i. You always live within the context of 8i. If 8i is not doing everything you want it to do, you buy a component, you write a component. By living inside of that unified environment, it's much more reliable, much more secure, much more productive. It's totally and completely portable. It's the only environment in history that allows you to, that is componentized, not only allows you to componentize your application, but our system itself, the deployment platform, the development environment, is completely componentized. You can add to it to take away from it. It's completely modular and componentized. There's never been anything like this before. You develop inside the one unified environment. You deploy inside that same environment. And you run on every computer that we run on, which is pretty much every computer that counts.